ignore that. We'll just... Okay, I'm talking today with Raymond P. Weave, sometimes known as Herman. Hermon.
That's right.
Okay, and just to get started here, when were you born?
1949.
Okay, and there's a dispute over the day. Tell me, just tell me that again.
Yeah, there is a bit of dispute over it. See, the only thing is that they've made a mistake at the immigration office, which the problem is, they took the date off the birth certificate, which is July 29th, and they made a mistake and made it June 29th, which ain't any big deal at all to me.
Yeah. So you just always go by the official date and you write it down somewhere.
Yeah.
And it matches up. So, yeah. Okay, so you were born in Mexico then.
That's right.
What do you remember of your early years? Anything at all?
Well, not very much, except that I've been brought up on a farm and I've been working on a farm until I came to this country.
You came here. So then you came here in 1971?
That's right.
One? You said. Okay, so you've been on the farm all your life then?
Yeah.
Did you go to school in Mexico?
Yeah, I did so.
With that was in the old Colony Church school?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, did that help you any?
Well, sure, it has helped me a lot, but I wish I could have had a better school and a longer school.
But what can you do now as a result of your schooling? What can you read German?
Yeah, I can read fairly good German. I can write everything else.
But you, like English, you haven't learned to read?
No, I have not. I wish I would have, but I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then after school, when you were done that, then you worked for your dad or something like that?
Yeah, I've always been working for my dad until I got married and left my parents.
So how old would you have been when you left school?
Approximately 14 years old, I believe. I'm not 100% sure. But
yeah. Okay. And then when you got married, how old were you then?
21.
21. So for...
Well, 21. I just turned 21 in the next month then.
So for at least six years, you worked then for your dad?
Yeah.
On the farm.
Yeah.
was your dad fairly well off with the farm, or was it pretty tough going?
Yeah, he was off pretty well.
Big farm?
Well, big, but average size farm, say 150 acres, something like that, 170.
And that was right in Nordlohn Colony?
Yeah, until a certain time, and then we moved to Manitoba.
Manitoba-Lohn?
Yeah.
Okay, how come you moved there?
Well, for some reason or another, they traded property, my dad with another person, and he always wanted to move to Manitoba-Lohn.
So this is his chance to do that?
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
Well, that's kind of hard to tell right now, because I hadn't left school for very long. I might have been about 15, maybe 16 years old.
Oh, I see.
If that.
Were you, you had brothers and sisters, quite a few? Or?
Yes, I've got three brothers and I've got five sisters.
Oh, where are you in there? Are you the oldest or youngest?
No, I'm the second.
Second, yeah. So then you had to then help move, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And with a big truck, I suppose.
Well, we did most of it by horses and wagons.
Oh,
yep.
Well, you that time you didn't use trucks yet.
Well,
you could have.
We could hire a truck. We did hire a truck, matter of fact, to haul the cattle this way and stuff like that. Because we had too much cattle to haul up by horses and wagons. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then you were able to do that, at least.
Yep.
And then you got married in 1970, July 27.
Yep.
Okay. How did you meet your wife? Where was she?
Well, I don't know. That's in a way by accident. Yeah, I never thought of going there until a couple of guys wanted to go there that way one day. And
where was she?
At Suflon.
Oh, yeah, Suflon, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they offered me a ride down there, and well, I took a ride down. We met and never thought of each other until, I don't know, about 5 years after I went down there. That's how I met her.
Oh. And then after that, after the 5 years, then you went down and decided to
Yeah, we met each other again. See, the first time we met when I was there, well, it might not have been 5 years, but anyway.
About, yeah.
We met again and seemed to like each other, so.
So then how long did it take you to get married then once you got back together again?
1 year.
1 year, definitely. And then what happened? What happened once you got married? Where did you live then?
Well, we rented ourselves a house in South Palm. Mm-hmm. Right after, a week after we got married, and from there we were on our own.
Did you have land? Or
no, we did not.
What did you do?
We didn't have a thing. I started working out, just like I'm doing here. Worked out in the milk factory for a while, a year and a half or so.
Milk
and,
factory?
Cheese factory.
Cheese factory,
say, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it didn't go too well. I mean, as far as work was concerned, was okay. But then again, I didn't have any land. I didn't have any equipment to work the land with. And the thing was, I couldn't get any equipment. So I could have got all kinds of land, which was offered to me. But then again, I needed the equipment to work it with, which I couldn't get.
How come you couldn't get it?
Everybody was busy with it.
Oh, you need to rent some equipment.
Yeah, rent equipment, because I was too poor to buy it. I didn't have a thing.
You couldn't rent or borrow the money to do that either?
No, not likely. Not for a young pupil like me. It was, at the time, it was very difficult, which is much better right now, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that first, so then right off, once you're married, you worked in the cheese factory for how long then?
Oh, I'd say about a year and a half. Now the first year I was married, I was off pretty good. I ran a little bit of land from my father-in-law and worked it with his equipment and everything else.
It was
doing just fine, yeah. Then the second year I couldn't get any equipment to work the land with. I had to buy all the feed for the cattle and pigs and everything else. And then I had to start selling of the cattle in order to buy feed and stuff like that. I sold one at first and fed it to the others. The lot was gone, I had to sell another one. And
how many cattle did you have?
Four.
Four?
Yeah, we had four cows and had a horse and a couple of pigs and so on. I had to sell another one and buy more feed, and that went down again. I was about to sell a third one, and I asked my wife, well, it was my brother-in-law's fault, actually. He came down and he asked, while I was working, he asked me, he was kind of helping me there, helping me out a bit, and he was asking whether we'd like to go to Canada with him. See, they were going to go again. I said, might as well go inside and ask the wife whether she likes to go or not, and she had been here before.
Just for a visit?
Yeah. And, she said, if you think we'll make it, we can give her a try. Well, I said, all we can do is try. Can't lose more than we've got right now. And I had to find something else to, in order to keep alive. Because it was too poor living at the time.
So that you weren't getting any money for any crops coming in, but you couldn't keep yourself going either from what you were getting on the farm?
No.
And
well, actually, I could have got myself going if I could have had the equipment to work the land, because it was very good crops we got in them years. But then again, I couldn't get anything to work it with, and I told my wife, I said, if you want to keep it up, if you don't want to go totally bankrupt, you have to do something else.
Did you try to borrow money anywhere?
Yeah, I did. And they wanted me to have so much money in the bank or so on for so long amount of time and all this and that. I couldn't do that, which I was too poor for.
Where would you go for borrowing money?
Well, the bank, of course.
Oh, is that a Mexican bank?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is there no way that you can borrow any money in among the Mennonites there?
Well, not likely. I mean, now it's different. But as it wasn't at that time that I was there yet, people weren't able to work like they do now.
But that's only 9-8 years ago.
Yeah.
It's changed that much.
That's changed drastically. I can't believe it myself.
You've just been back recently?
Pardon me?
Were you back there recently?
I was there at Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell me about the difference. I'm curious. What did you see that struck you as being so different?
Well, let's say the whole thing. Like the time I was there, everybody had a tractor and equipment, or a couple of tractors, whatever, to work their land with, which were older tractors. They were real old timers.
Mm-hmm.
And now I was back there, which is 9 years ago, since I left.
9 years later, yeah.
Yeah, 9 years later, and everybody seems to have all the equipment, the handiest equipment they ever need on a farm. And money almost to shovel around with. Well, I shovel around with, but... see, while I was back there, if I ever had $100 in my pocket, I thought I was rich and I had lots of money. Nowadays, any youngster like me, or even younger, just got married, if they go to a store or anywhere, they put their hand in their pocket and they come out with a handful of bills of 1,000 and 500s and stuff like that. Which you wouldn't have ever seen before. Never, ever.
What has caused that to change so much?
I don't know. Really, I don't know. Which I believe personally is that, the money, the value of the money isn't good at all there anymore.
And they've had inflation like we have here too.
Right. The thing is, since I left that country, everything has almost doubled. Just like it has here, or even better.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was still back there for, take a bag of flour, for instance. I paid 77, I believe it was $77 for it at the time. Now it's over 200. So was a pair of pants, a pair of overalls, you might call them.
Yeah.
They were at the... Well, I left there. The same day I left, I bought myself a pair, and they were $57 some odd bucks, and the Mexican money, pesos. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they are, because I haven't bought any since that. But they're supposed to be almost three times as much now.
Wow.
Let's put it that way, everything.
But you're saying, even in spite of the fact that there's inflation, where so everything is costing so much more, the farmer seems to be better off, though.
Yeah, much better. Much, much better.
So what are they doing? Are they borrowing all this money to buy these new tractors and things? Or?
Well, a lot of them do, a lot of them don't. A lot of them have the bucks.
They've been sitting on them all along, or?
Well, they've been building them up. For some reason or another, I don't know how they've been able to do it, but they've been able to do it.
Sure.
They've done it.
Very interesting.
Oh, and at the time, I couldn't see any way out, so I left, and I came back, came down this way. And the first couple of months, if I would have had a box, I would have went back.
Yeah?
Because I didn't like it here at all. Not at all. Everything seemed strange, and the language problem, and all this and that. And then again, we had one child at the time. And we were only here a week, and we had to put him in the hospital for 2 weeks. And that cost us... I don't know exactly what it was, but anyways, just under or just over $1,000 hospital, and no insurance or nothing, no money. So that's how far in debt I was.
As soon as you came here?
Yeah, that's what kept me here.
Oh yeah.
I didn't have the bucks to pay for it, and I didn't even have the bucks to go back home.
Now, when you left over there, did you sell all your stuff?
Yeah, I did.
Land and all?
Well, I didn't have any land.
You didn't have any land. You were renting some
land. Yeah, I rented.
And so all your cattle that you had left, you had at least a couple.
Yeah.
Those you sold, and then your farm stuff, whatever you had.
Yeah.
Your horse.
Sold that all, and...
Did you have citizenship here, or how did you think you might be able to make it here?
No, I didn't have nothing. I didn't have anything. So I came across the border with Mexican passports.
Okay.
Well, my wife, of course, she had a citizen.
Oh? How come?
Well, she'd been here before. She applied for it. She had not exactly the, not the plastic card. She didn't have that one. But she had the paper one. And
what does that mean? The plastic card is a birth certificate, right?
No. No, it's also a citizenship card.
Oh, yes. And she had a paper one.
Yeah, she had a paper one.
What does that mean? Temporary or?
No, that's for life, as well as the plastic card is. But at the time, I don't know whether they had them in the plastic cards yet or not.
Oh, I see.
Maybe now they later. Do anyway.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to start right from scratch. Went to the immigration. For the second week I was here, I went to the immigration and applied for a landed immigrant.
And then she sponsored you then?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In a way, yeah. Because if she wouldn't have been citizen, I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, right.
I don't think I would have. But anyway, I had to start from...
Now, the fellow who came to tell you about going to Canada, he was moving here as well?
Yeah. He had been here before. It was her brother.
Oh, yeah. And then he wanted... What was his name?
Wall. David Wall.
David Wall. Yeah. Is he still around here? Living?
Yeah, he lives in Merlin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And... he had sold everything out there then too now and wanted to come up here.
Yeah.
Did he have, was he a citizen or?
Somewhere? Oh yeah.
He had made that already.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then, so did you have trouble getting across the border at all?
No. No troubles at all.
Your wife came in with Canadian status and you came in with a Mexican passport. Did you tell them at the border you were going to try to live here then? Or?
Yeah, I did. I did so.
And since she was Canadian then, and that's over.
Well, actually, we came in as visitors. But then again, I told them, they asked me at the border what I was going here for and all this and that. When I told them, I said, if I can make myself at home, if I like it there, and I can make myself at home in Canada, well, I'll make myself at home and I'll stay. And of course I did too. Second week I was here, I went to the immigration office with some English speaking people that helped me out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I made out just fine in that.
Were they just friends of yours then who could speak English?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What happened when you came here then? Where did you stay or how did that work?
Well, I stayed with relatives at the time.
Initially?
Yeah.
Just when you came in. And then you were able to work almost right away?
No, I had to wait a month until I got my working permit at the immigration.
Cool.
And after that, after the first month, they gave me a working permit. And I tried to find a job. That was, of course, in the wintertime, which jobs were too easy to find at the time. But anyway, I found a job after a month. But after a month from the time I had my working permit, and I started working. Started off at the Canadian Leaf Tobacco in Tilsonburg.
Yeah.
I stayed there for about 5 months or so, and maybe six, maybe. Then I got a job at Ford's, and ever since that I've been working there.
Oh, I see. Oh, here in St. Thomas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that's... the first year you worked at Tilsonburg?
No, it was only 5 or 6 months.
Oh, just a short time. I see.
Yeah. Well, it was from, I believe it was February. I can't remember exactly, but right around there anyway. I worked there until August, and then I started at Ford's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 6 months.
Mm-hmm. And then?
6 months.
Yeah. And then now you've been there ever since. Do you like it at Ford?
Well, you might say things could be better here and there, but then again, which place can you work that things couldn't be better? You might say that at every place you're working.
Yeah. You're on the assembly line?
Yeah.
You're working shift work, I guess, a lot.
Yeah.
How did it feel when you came here? You said you just about wanted to go back?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it didn't feel... at home at all. Everybody was a stranger to you, and you were a stranger to everybody else, of course. and then the language problem and all this and that. That's what bugged me.
Couldn't speak English?
No.
How long did it take till you were able to speak English so you could...
It didn't take me very long, though. I was surprised.
But then again, just a couple of months, or...
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing was, when I first came here, if anybody asked me, what's your name? Well, I didn't even know what to say. I didn't know what it was, what they asked. Which helped me a great deal, as I believe, that working at the Canadian Leaf Tobacco. I was with an old 71-year-old man that I worked with, just the two of us in a cooper shop, fixing the old tobacco barrel. And he was sort of a nice guy, really he was, because he said something I couldn't understand, and I asked him to explain to me exactly what it meant, and he was a nice enough guy to take the time and do that.
So he basically taught you your English then?
Yeah, he did so. And I really picked up on that. I really did.
And you'd ask him things, and then he'd tell you what they meant.
Yeah, I asked him things, and of course we didn't even have to start working over that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could just keep working.
Yeah,
and
kept working right away.
Yeah.
And I asked things and this and that, and asked him to explain to me. So he did.
That's kind of nice that a guy would take time like that.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Are there others that you know of who would not have learned that quickly, I guess, huh?
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of them, yeah.
They wouldn't have the contact with the English-speaking person as much?
Right.
I guess that would have helped you, right?
See, the thing is, most of the Mexican Mennonites that come here, say 75% of them, they work on farms. They just keep working on farms and stuff like that with their people, among their people. That's why they don't learn. Unlike me, it was a different thing altogether. There was just me and this one English-speaking man. We were all by ourselves, the two of us.
Mm.
I didn't have a choice either.
Yeah.
I had no choice. Yeah. And I've been telling my wife that I'm really thankful I had to do that. Because if I wouldn't have had to do that, if I wouldn't have worked there with this man, I wouldn't have picked up the English, speaking English and stuff like that as well as I do now. As well as I picked that up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's all kinds of people here. I don't mean to brag about what I can do. Then again, there's all kinds of people here that have been here a lot longer than I have. And they don't speak as well or as much as I do.
Yeah, I think you're right. Does your wife speak English too?
Hardly at all. I mean, she gets along, but then again.
But she hasn't had the exposure that you've had either.
No.
The kids, they're learning it pretty fast, I guess.
Oh, yeah. There's no problem.
And do they speak German still too? Or
oh, yeah.
To mom?
Yeah, at home we're always speaking our old language.
Yeah. When you look back now, and you've been back last Christmas, well, how does it look to you out there? What's it feel like to go back to visit and to see it? Do you think that you could go back there and live again? Or?
Well, in a way, yes. But then again, it'd be awful hard to do that for me now, because I'm so used to the way we're living here. See, here we've got everything. And all we do is we go to the grocery store every week and buy our grocery for the whole week and this and that. And we've got a telephone, we've got our automobiles, which I don't believe we'd have back there. I don't know if, let's say if you had enough money to get out there and buy yourself a big farm, I wouldn't mind that at all. I wouldn't mind living back there at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. Because I've been brought up on a farm, and I still can't get farming out of my mind. And as it is right now in this country, I don't see how I can afford a farm, because they've gone up too much in the past 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll say the past 5 years.
So you say it'd be impossible now to...
Well, it might be possible, but then again, very difficult.
The way they have it out in Mexico, that is things go slower and harder there, is that right?
Yeah, it goes a little slower and...
more difficult.
Yeah. In a way, yes, but in a way, not.
Say no more. What way, yes, and what way, not?
Yeah. Well, let's see. everything is a bit later out there. See, in the fields, they still aren't done putting their crop in.
Oh, yeah.
They sometimes, I remember, in 1976, I believe I was back there as a visit as well. Mm-hmm. And that was in August, no, July, middle of July, mm-hmm. which I was down there, and they still hadn't had their crop in. I still helped them put the last of their crop in while I was there. See, that's how much later the season is. Mm-hmm. But then again, once they've got it in and they get the right amount of rain and stuff like that, the right temperature, there's no problem. The only thing is they haven't got as many combines and stuff like that to harvest it and so on as they've got here. I mean, they're really coming in, but they haven't gotten as many as we've got here. They have to take more time to take their crop off in the fall as well as putting it in.
Did you attend church out there in Mexico too?
Yeah.
What were you, Old Colony?
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And they have a fair amount of say as to what people do over there as compared to here. Is that right?
That's right. That is right.
The kinds of vehicles you drive.
Yeah. At the time I was there, we weren't supposed to have the rubber tires on tractors and stuff like that. And
has that changed now?
Yeah, just about everybody's got them now. I don't, except for ministers. I think everybody else has got them on now.
Yeah.
And of course, in the Swift Colony, anybody who likes to drive a vehicle, an automobile, is. And as capable or for it, goes and buys themselves an automobile. Away they go.
There's been a great migration out of Swift Flown, is that right?
Yeah,
to Bolivia.
That's right. So see, the thing is, the old colony and ministers and stuff, they aren't even there anymore on Swift Flown.
Who's there now then?
What do they call them again? See, I know him, but I can't say it right now.
Be Rhinelander?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what they've got in there now.
That's different?
Well, I don't really know, because I haven't attended church at that church at all.
But they all have, they're all able to drive cars and things.
Sure.
And the church doesn't care.
No, they don't care. Matter of fact, everybody's driving cars at church and everything else, just like we do here. But then again, at Manitoba Plone and North, I don't think they're allowed to do that there yet. Mm-hmm. North Plone, I don't know for sure, but Manitoba Plone, I know that they aren't allowed to do that yet. Mm-hmm. I think it'll come soon.
Yeah? Well, what makes you say that?
Because they just aren't against it as much anymore as they used to. It's very simple. My dad used to be against driving automobiles, terribly bad too. Mm-hmm. Until he got here once, and he's been driving my car quite a bit. While I was back there, he was driving my truck. As a matter of fact, he even told me if that wasn't against the rules at the the churches and stuff like that he don't want himself.